Every Friday before the Super Bowl, we always sit down and talk with Robert Kraft of the New England Patriots and the state of the Patriots. Unfortunately, the Patriots are not in the Super Bowl. You've probably heard about that. Robert Kraft is in Dallas at the Super Bowl, and he joins us live right now. Robert, how you doing?
Doing pretty well. And you, Glenn, and Steve, and Butch, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I just wish we were playing in this game. That was our plan. And, you know, being down here and seeing this great stadium and just the whole aura, you know, it just, there's still an ache that we had a great season, but unfortunately we just didn't finish it off right.
Is this painful for you?
It really is. Especially, you know, I think if anyone had said the beginning of the year, you know, our team would go 14-2 and we'd wind up with a bye, you know, and you think, the previous, you know, we've owned the team 17 years. We've had four previous situations where we went to the bye, and each of the time we had it, we went to the Super Bowl. So we weren't sure we were anywhere near that good as a team at the beginning of the season, but you know, the build up and the expectations and actually the kind of team we had, it's a great locker room, a great group of guys, a good blend of veterans and young players. You know, what people don't probably realize is half of the play time of our players this year were first and second year players. If you looked at all the people who played, 50% of the plays were played by first and second year players. And we blended that. You know, we still have 13 folks who are on our Super Bowl team in 2004, and I think we're ranked third for having veterans that long. So blending the two and thinking about that at the end of the year is pretty special.
I saw your comments today when you were asked what you felt was missing in the team's playoff to the Jets, and you're quoted as saying, I don't know, a good game plan. Were you critical of the approach and the game plan?
I think that's taken out of context. I think the Jets had a great game plan. I think, you know, look, we went down those first two drives, and they were great drives. In the first one, Tommy hadn't thrown an interception in, what, 8 or 10 games? I don't remember. And unfortunately, he threw that, and then they went down, and they missed the field goal, and it was a wash. And then we go down, and we drive again, and the ball gets dropped in the end zone, and we wind up with 3 points. And then, you know, we had the fake punt there that cost us big time. So, you think about the last 8 or 10 games, our turnover ratio differential was just tremendous. And this game, we had two turnovers and we got none. And in the end, that was the difference. A lot of small things. You know, I remember Kevin Slater going down and trying to down that ball at the 1 yard line, and just we had drop passes. So, the Jets had a great game plan, and that's what I was saying. That they outplayed us, and unfortunately, they deserved to win the game. But it was very sad, and not what any of us had hoped for.
Robert, since you won in 2001, how many Super Bowls have you gone to that you haven't played in?
I don't think any. I don't think we've attended, and we've been down here, but we have some meetings, and we have that. Excuse me. I have some meetings tomorrow with the league, and we have a little meeting on the union deal, and but usually we take off. We might stay for part of this one.
Sounds like it's a strange feeling for you.
Well, especially when you know how close you were. And, you know, the unfortunate and sad part of championship weekend is we had beaten all those teams. You know, Green Bay had played us pretty close, and they have a real good team. But we beat all four, and to have, you know, had the bye and then lose that game. So the good news is we have this good nucleus of players hopefully coming back. It's the first time in 20 years that a team will have 5 of the first 75 picks. We almost have like 3 first-rounders because we have 2 there, and then, of course, Carolina's pick, which is the first in the second round. So out of the first 33 picks, we'll have 3. So if our personnel and people and Bill and Nick and our whole team, John Robinson and Jason Light, they do a good job, we have a chance to improve the team, and it'll be hopefully a little more season next year.
Robert, I was a little surprised picking up this SI piece this week, the man of the hour, a politician's son who rose from the intern to NFL commissioner, about Roger Goodell. Some interesting stuff, some stuff that I didn't realize about the commissioner. But what kind of surprised me is it was a piece based on his life, and then kind of buried in the piece here was Spygate all over again, and I'll just read from it. Goodell told Kraft that as part of the disciplinary action, Belichick would have to make a verbal apology in front of the press that week. Instead, the coach issued a printed statement and refused to answer any questions on the topic. Quote, "I was given assurances that Belichick would tell his side of the story," Goodell said. "He went out and stonewalled the press. I feel like I was deceived." Two questions. One, it sounds like he's talking about you were the one that he had gotten the assurances from. And were you asked by the commissioner for Bill to actually address this with the media? And the second part of that is, why is it coming up 3 years after the fact that it sounds like the commissioner feels like he was deceived about this subject matter?
Well, Glenn, you asked some good questions, but I must tell you, this is 3.5 years later.
Well, that's my point, I think, though. That.
No, but I'm making a point to you. This is 3.5 years later. I can't speak for why other people do things or don't do things. I can just tell you that I'm tired of the whole subject, and it's something that I'm not going to discuss with anyone, to be honest.
Do you recall it that way? The way the commissioner, have you had a conversation with the commissioner since about this?
Glenn, I have great respect for you, but I'm just going to tell you again, I'm done talking about that subject.
All right. It just kind of surprised me that 3.5 years later, that subject would pop out there. You said that you were going to be part of the negotiations tomorrow. I have read numerous quotes by you, very optimistic that we're going to have some type of labor agreement and fairly soon. I don't hear a lot of other people saying the same thing, Robert. What are you seeing in this?
I don't know. Let me just say, I'm speaking for myself when I say this. Knowing what I know about what's going on, what the numbers are on both sides, knowing that we have a quality product that is getting great ratings. The fans have supported us. You can see the ratings even of the Pro Bowl last weekend, which I don't think was really a great game, but people wanted to see it. It, you know, one of the highest rated programs of the week, I think. People want our product. So today in America, where a lot of companies have to cut back in their businesses and are looking how they can survive, we have something that we can grow and build on, and it can benefit all parties. And it would really be criminal if we don't find a way to close the deal out in the next month. All all the ingredients are there to do the deal. And the real problem, in my opinion, is we have too many lawyers on each side, and we got to move them aside and get business people at the table and close this out.
And what are the biggest sticking points about it? The distribution of the television money, or is there more intricate details than that?
Well, no, I think to simplify it, what happened in 06 is in our haste of doing a deal and keeping something going, we did a deal that was too favorable, really, to the players. And, you know, anyone who's an experienced businessman knows that when you have a business and a thriving partnership like we have now, it's never good for one side to get the edge on the other, because in the end, it's going to come back and bite you in a way that doesn't work. And that's what's happening now. And we have to find a way to restructure this so veteran players, retired players, one of whom is right there, think that we're doing things the correct way. And probably the only people that really will get cut back are people who aren't in the league yet, rookies coming in who, if you look at the top paid players at the top of the draft last year and seeing what the top 5 or 10 guys are making versus veteran guys in the locker room who have been there for 5 years, it's not a way to have good chemistry in the locker room. And so I think correcting things like that and then forging ahead with the many opportunities that are available to us, our content is so valuable that I think we can do things in the digital media space which will help to grow revenues and is an opportunity for everyone to benefit. And, you know, if you just look at what happened this past week, I had to give a deposition as chair of the broadcast committee. You know, the commissioner and ourselves and the committee agreed when things were tough in 08 that we'd go out and extend our existing media deals. And, you know, I was really worried that the world seemed to be falling apart financially and we had to get the people who are a major source of revenue in a difficult time to extend. So we went out and did that. And now the lawyers at the union were coming and saying we didn't do a good enough deal. We took less than we should have because we got them to agree to pay us if there's a lockout, which is like a loan. And it's just silly. So the ruling came out this week, and the union lost, but the players are still going to pay the legal fee. They're paying $15 million to lawyers who lost the case for them, but, you know, they're still moving on. And if it was their own business and they were close to it, they would never allow those things to happen.
Well, but haven't they won a number of cases also with similar groups of lawyers?
You would know better. I don't know what have they won.
They've had a couple of victories, but you're $50 million is a lot to spend either way. Back to the 2006. Is it only the economy that's made the deal, the 2006 deal, a bad deal, or was it a bad deal to begin with? And if it was, how did it get ratified in the first place?
Well, I think when I say we, ownership agreed to do a deal very quickly that we didn't understand all the fine language and let it go along and agreed to something that, as it turned out, was not something that worked for us. Now, we knew it was going fast, and that's why we negotiated in an opt-out clause that if it didn't work, we could end the original deal, you know, at the end of this season, which sadly we had to do, because the way it works now, our business won't be healthy in 2 to 3 years. And, you know, you think about it, we haven't built a new stadium since 06. Any new stadium that's come on was already in the working stages before that, had been set before that. And right now, the way the deal is structured, we're not incented to invest in the future growth of the business, and that's not good for players or owners.
Any business.
Well, I think something that you found out here is that you're not going to get municipalities or state government to go and invest the money anymore in those stadiums, which they have done in past years. Of course, you didn't have that luxury here in New England, but that's not going to be built either. So is the biggest issue right now, because the public looks at it, Robert, and they're sitting there going, you know, where the rest of the economy seems to be failing miserably, that you look at the National Football League, and everything you just said was absolutely right on. 13.4 million people sat and watched that Pro Bowl. You said it was not a real good game. It was an awful game. It was over at the end of the first
quarter.
Worse
than the stands.
It was terrible. But yet people watched it. It was the highest rated TV show of the weekend, because that shows you the power of the NFL. But the public looks at this and says, the one area of the economy that seems to be thriving is the National Football League. Are you telling me that it's the business model of the future that has owners right now concerned that you have to turn back the clock?
Yeah, in any business, excuse me, hello, you still there?
Yeah, we're still here.
Sorry, I dropped. You have to plan for the future and anticipate the problems and try to fix it before those problems become too great. The way we are now, and you know, take our stadium, Gillette, that we built. It's all private, no PSLs. The family took a huge risk, but we did it, okay? Now, believe it or not, this is our ninth season we just completed. We have to continue to reinvest in that stadium and keep it modern, and so that people want to come to the stadium and feel that the experience of being in the stadium is better than watching high-definition TV at home or anything else. We have to make huge capital investments. We did it on our own this year with the new screens, you know, the high-definition screens, which I don't know, I assume you guys had a chance to see.
Absolutely.
But,
you know, and it was the right thing for the business. It was not the prudent thing for the business long term, the way the deal is structured now. We are not incented to do that. We did it because it was the right thing. What we're and I remember actually talking with the commissioner about this and saying, do you think we can get it retroactive? Because we were going to wait till a new deal happens where we will be incented to make these improvements. But I decided, you know, with Jonathan, that we couldn't wait, you know, that it's just something that we should do because it's the right thing for our fans. We can't keep doing that because we'll wind up going out of business. I mean, and these are the kinds of things that have to get straightened out in the new deal. But to go back to Steve's question, it's really the distribution of revenue. And that incremental percentage that is going to the players is really money that should be invested in developing the business and making it sound and allowing us to go out and do new things that will continue to grow revenue. Right now, we're not incented to do that. And you can see that where there are no new stadiums have been built since that 06 agreement.
18-game season. The players are talking about the health risk of playing two additional games. Right now, owners collect money on those extra games, but they're preseason games. So you're already getting that money. Where would you raise incremental revenue from those two games? Through raised rights for television?
Yes. And look, how we look at this, and, you know, it's a very good point. I mean, it's not in our interest to create a situation where we're going to have incremental problems with the physical health of our players. So the way we look at this now is we have 20 games. The fans have told us they don't think preseason is a good value. So if we make two games regular season, make them regular games, and so from a fan point of view, they would be paying the same money they're paying now. so we think we're giving incremental value. From a player point of view, what we know we have to do is we're going to have to make adjustments to the roster sizes. We're going to have more players on teams. And, you know, the way our team this past year had 50% of the plays played were by first and second year players is going to have to be more of that. And I'm hoping that the increased roster size and whatever adjustments are decided will minimize that.
Robert, you were quoted this morning several stories back here about a possible Super Bowl in New England after last year, saying that you thought that time had passed for a Super Bowl in Foxborough. What's changed in your mind?
Well, you know, I supported the one in New York and actually tried to help lead that because I felt for a number of reasons it should be in New York. Well, I'll tell you, I woke up this morning.
I was going to say, how are you feeling today about this?
Well, and Meyer looks outside and says to me, 6 inches of snow. He says, well, why don't we have a Super Bowl up at our place? Said, you know, Boston's a great city, Providence. We got the hotel rooms. There are a lot of good things that can happen.
Plus, you can remove it up here.
We, huh?
You can remove it up here.
Where are you going to put it?
They don't remove it down there.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
They don't remove the snow down there, apparently. Oh, they remove it up here.
Well, the funniest things, there were guys out in front of the hotel with squeegees. So, and it's just warmed up. It's so slushy, you know, and it's actually sad. I feel bad a little bit for Jerry because they worked so hard, and the whole Roger Staubach came up to me last night, and, you know, he really helped lead the effort, and he's a closet Patriot fan, you know, because of Annapolis and his relationship. He remembered Bill when he was just a little kid when he was playing, I guess, down there. And he, you know, he was talking about it and how he felt about the weather. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but here's the way I look at it. There were over 5,000 media people who went on Tuesday. This game is going to have a record attendance. The weather probably is going to get record ratings. And, you know, there's two storied franchises playing in the game. So it's maybe we should consider it. It would sure be fun hosting it up there. And, you know, I hope that we're good enough when the game moves to New York that we're competing to play in it, because I think the teams that play in the elements should have an advantage of playing in an outdoor facility in the winter.
You guys have an awful lot of draft picks. You've done a good job of continually having quite a few draft picks. Do you think that the organization would view them differently if we end up with a rookie slotting system, a wage scale, where a high first-round draft pick now wouldn't be a disaster if the guy failed? Would you be more... Well, willing to go up in that draft, do you think?
That's a great question. And, you know, part of the reason we pushed the Seymour pick into this year, and unfortunately we had the bad luck of the Raiders having their best season in 7 or 8 years, but it still was a mid-round pick. But part of it is if we'd gotten it the previous season, it would have been at a you know, I'm going to do one of my – ADD asides here. You know, if you think about it, this rookie system that we have now is not good for parity. And it's good for the Patriots as long as we don't get there. But when you have these teams drafting, weak teams that draft at the top with players who they have to overpay for what they might perform, that's not good for getting balance in the league. And part of the reason we picked pushed our picks into this year is we were hoping that the new system would be one where we could draft and get value, financial and player value within reason. And, you know, there are only so many outstanding players in every draft. And so having a chance to get those players at the top is the key. And, I mean, there aren't too many Brady situations out there.
Do you think it happens as part of this new collective bargaining agreement?
I really, you know, there are two things that are important. you know, in this new getting it right. But part of it is not having a judge who is federal oversight. I mean, it's like letting people make judgments on your business that don't know all the variables or aren't fully invested. So that's got to go away. And you know, that, and that's probably what Steve was referring to, going back to the Reggie White situation, which in the end, I mean, it might have been good for the players, but once you get free agency, to have a situation that's not good for both sides in this, it's not good for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans don't want to hear about well-to-do owners or players fighting over distribution. They just want football. And so,
you know, you've been through so many different negotiations and in your other businesses, and I'm wondering, as you look at this thing, and we're going to end this business season on March the 3rd, and we'll see what happens after that, but what incentive is there for either side after that if we have a quite big cavern separating the two here to get something done before you finally get to September, where now people are taking a financial hit?
Yeah, but no, that's a good question. Let me just tell you, first of all, we can do a deal. And, you know, if the right people are on each side of the table, and to me that means having fewer lawyers on each side and having business people, and the right people are focused on getting this thing done, it can be done in a week. And it's not, you know, there's so much that has been done in the background. It doesn't take months and months to do this. Anyone who's been involved in a union negotiation knows that, unfortunately, what happens is it usually takes you right to the end, right before the 11th hour, and
at September.
And I hate to pick on lawyers again, but when lawyers are heavily involved, you know, they always think they get the best deal on the court step. You know, just so probably this has got to go right to the brink. But if we pass March 4th, then both sides are going to be big losers, because there will be a loss of revenue. Like people think, well, then it won't happen till right before Labor Day when the season starts. But between March 4th and Labor Day, the league would lose $1 billion of revenue. Now, right now, 60% of that goes to the players. So, you know, whatever it winds up being in the future, the players and the owners, you know, we still have our mortgage we got to pay every month. We have our power. We have certain fixed costs that just have to be paid, and those expenses are agnostic on whether there are games being played or people sitting in the seats or whatever. So we still have to run our business, and we need that revenue. And to be honest, I think the players, who it's not like they have unlimited years to play the game, for them to come into a season and give up 50 to 60% of $1 billion that they'll never get back, besides the fact that we're going to aggravate and alienate America in a way that'll cost us in many ways that we won't see, but it'll hurt the game, I think, for years to come. So I just hope we're wise enough on both sides. You know, we're privileged to be in a great business. And the ingredients are there to close it out and do a good deal that works both ways. Now we need to get the people going on both sides.
Robert, I'm sitting here reading several articles about how Roger Goodell asked you to come down and be part of the sessions tomorrow. And I'm curious, as you talk here, thinking about that this is the day before the Super Bowl, you're going to have both sides together, and you're going to be involved with this. You sound like that your role is going to try to be the voice of reason in all of this.
Well, I don't know. I think there are a lot of people... there's a number of owners who are very positive in this and can help. And I really believe that the new leader of the union, Dee Smith, also, you know, I think he wants to do the right thing. It's very complicated. You know, he came in and is a charismatic fellow, and he got himself elected as head of this against some front-running candidates. And this is a complicated business. And unfortunately, some of our lawyer friends have, you know, Steve can tell you, if you look at Zach's contract, mm-hmm. it's probably 100 pages.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why it needs to be more than one or two pages.
Billable hours. That's what they call
it. Right.
You don't hire any lawyers down there, do you?
Pardon?
You don't hire any lawyers at your company, do you?
We have them in the house.
You have no choice.
We try to hire us. No. You know, this is unfair. lawyers have a very important purpose. But letting them run a business negotiation where it's not their pocketbook on the line is not good business. I don't think the players would approve of the legal expenses if they understood. Now Steve is saying they won a lot. Yeah, they do. But in the end, we don't need all this legal posturing. We have a good situation, and we're not trying to take advantage. We're trying to get a balanced deal, and we can do it. So I just hope both sides are wise enough.
Unfortunately, the players don't know half of the expenses that go on down at the union, so that's an issue in and of itself. But when lawyers get talking, things get dragged out. And this is, like you said, this isn't a situation where either side wants to come down to even training camp. You start skipping training camp, the public, especially as much as they love the NFL, the public's going to get ticked off and ticked off quick.
And they're going to find other things to do. Right now, they're emotionally tied into us, but they're not going to, if we don't behave well, it's going to be very expensive for all of us.
All right, Robin, let me ask you one more question dealing with one of your players, Logan Mankins, because this crops up when we get callers who constantly call us up and ask, is Logan Mankins going to sign with the Patriots? He came in, played 9 games this year, was an all-pro, and yet I constantly hear fans saying, well, is he still required to give a public apology to Robert Kraft? Is Logan Mankins going to be back here?
Let me just answer you it from my point of view, because I think there's a lot of things that have been out in the media that, to my way of thinking, are either an exaggeration or inappropriate. But I'll just speak for myself. I think Logan Mankins is a great player. I'm glad he's been on the Patriots roster. And our intent, from my point of view, is that he continue to be with the Patriots long term. And that's our objective.
No public apology required?
I told you the full deal as it is. You know, these things just get carried away in a way. He came in, he played, he did a great job. He's a great player. He's one of the best players on our team, and our intent is to have him here long term.
All right, Robert, we always enjoy it every year at the Super Bowl. Maybe next year we'll do it in Indianapolis, and the rest of your team will be out there as well.
That would be great, and we'd accept it even if it was snowing.
Hey, Robert, who wins the game Sunday?
I'm focused on the Patriots, hopefully being there next year. But I'll tell you, I do enjoy chatting with you folks. We've had this as a long tradition, and I'm just sorry we couldn't be playing in the game.
All right, Robert, we'll continue the tradition next year. We'll talk to you in the meantime. Have a good and safe time getting out of Dallas, all right?
Thank you, and please God we have a chance to do it next year.
All right, yep. See you later. Robert Kraft,
thanks.
The owner of the New England Patriots. Quick break, and we're back at you here on The Big Show.